You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
All right, we're going to open in prayer because we're going to need it. We are off and running to be Greeks tonight. So let's get this going on the right foot and off we go. So Father, we just ask in Jesus' name that your word tonight be powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. That Father, this is a difficult topic, but we want to get it. And so I pray no spirit of slumber tonight. We'll be attentive. We'll be alert. We'll get every single word and more, Holy Spirit, that you want to download on us. So I pray you do that in all of your richness and all of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Okay, did everybody get notes? Here's the deal. If you didn't get notes, you're going to need them. And did everybody get a sticker that says, I'm a proud Greek scholar? Eli and Cody thought it meant geek scholar. I go, no, I know you want to be that, but it's Greek. No, you can't. Bad, 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 bad. Okay, and one more thing about those two. You know what? Without Cody and Eli, honestly, we don't thank them enough. They do an incredible job. Cody's in charge of making us sound good. Eli tonight, Eli does all of our media. He is back there. I have given him more overheads, but he is literally going to be tracking with us. So besides a study sheet, you can see it, and we can move together and get all this information downloaded. So put your hand up and just wave at him like that. Thank you. They're awesome, guys. They're awesome. Okay, and you have your sticker on. I called a Greek restaurant today in Temecula. I thought if we're going to study a little bit of Greek, we ought to at least speak Greek. So I get a hold of this. This is not a joke. This is true. So I get a hold of this gal. And I said, you're Greek? She goes, yeah, we're Greek and Italian. So I told her what I was doing. I said, I just want to everybody, like, how do you say hello or something? And so she goes, Yasu. I go, Yasu, we can do that. And so I go, what if I want to say more like have a good evening? Well, she comes off with this little. I go, no. Yasu is good. So I want you to turn somebody and say, it's a traditional Greek. Even Brian Marshall told me I was right on this. Where are you? I'm good, huh? It's a traditional Greek greeting. Okay, so turn to a couple people and just say, Yasu. You got it? Okay, don't laugh. It's funny. It's just what it is. Okay. All right. Now, here's the thing. Just for openers, please, please, please take notes because here's the deal. Here's the deal. You just learn better when you take notes, okay? So, like, if your husband, Sharon, is, like, you know, not taking notes, you have every reason to just poke him a little because he'll remember it better. Because here's the thing. This teaching can be a game changer for us, for all of us. When we study a topic like strongholds, it affects, you're going to find out, so many areas of our life that if we can find out how to, like, get rid of them, every area, finances and the things that you think for relationships and money and work, all that stuff is controlled by this topic tonight. And so often there's, like, challenges that are, like, I wrote a bunch down, situations, your problems, and we always think it's like that person, or if only that job would do this, or if only my relative would do this. And honestly, if you've prayed and you've sought God and you read the Bible and it's still not going away, it's probably a stronghold, which is what we're talking about tonight. And so we have to be very discerning. And Bob always says this from the pulpit. It's either God or it's Satan, darkness, or it's us. It's one of those three things. So not everything is a stronghold. Some things God causes. Some things we cause. As a matter of fact, I read a story years ago about two fathers who were in the driveway talking, and these idiot kids go driving down in a car recklessly, and they kind of roll their eyes. Well, sure enough, true story, about a block later, they run into a telephone pole. So they run down there and see if they can do it with these kids, and this guy goes, the first thing out of this kid's mouth is, why did God let this happen? It's like, really? Like, you're speeding and driving like a nut, and run into a telephone pole, and it's God's fault. It isn't even the devil's fault. But that's where we miss it a lot. We blame some on the devil or us, whatever. We're going to learn how to discern what it is and deal with it tonight. So how many of you weren't here 3 weeks ago for part one? A bunch. Okay, we're going to do this very quickly. We're going to take like 3 minutes and just go over three verses. And I have the extra notes that were left over. Grab those or get the CD. But here's what kind of you missed. So Eli, give me that first overhead. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been what? Forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. The King James says it suffers violence. Because here's the thing. Satan doesn't want to give you an inch. If you've got a bad relationship, money problems, a job situation, he wants to keep you like that. So we are going to have to forcefully lay hold of that and forcefully move forward with ground. 1 John 3:8 says this, "For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." We have that same mission. We are here to destroy the works of the devil. I want to see people get saved, healed, set free, delivered. That's my intent and purpose. So as he sends us out, he says this. He goes, "I want you to be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove." And you might think, well, my gosh, who wants to be like the sneaky snake? It's not the sneaky snake. They're just two animals. But he's saying we have to be so discerning about this. We have to be really smart, but really nice about it when you're doing it, because we're dealing with people a lot, and we're dealing with the power behind that person. All right, and one more overhead. We went over this last 2 weeks ago, three. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And remember, we talked about all the armor. We spent a lot of time on the wiles of the devil. Wiles, it's meaning schemes and stratagems and plans and devices and cunning. That's what that one word means. He's really a smart guy. And, you know, I share with you how in heaven, I don't know how long it took, but he convinced a third of the host of heaven to rebel against God. That's a lot of angels. He talked them into it somehow, and Jesus just flicked them right out. Then he goes to work on Adam and Eve. He never had started with people before, his first two people. And so, you know what? I said the wiles of the devil, he's so good at this, but he wasn't yet. And he worked and worked and worked. We don't know if it took him with Adam and Eve a day. I mean, did God put him in the garden and that very day they blew it? Or were they there 2 weeks? Were they there a year? Were they there 200 years? All we know is Satan just kept at it, and he probably said, "Look at Eve, looks pretty good, like you could eat it." "No, no, no, God said we can't." "Well, you're supposed to be taking care of the tree. You ought to get some reward for what you're doing." "No, no, no, we're not supposed to eat." And then he tried this. "Yeah, but you'll be like God. You'll know good from evil." So she goes, "Oh, you know, it does look like it's good to eat, and gosh, I'm going to know good from evil. I'm going to do it." So then he went to work on Cain. Then he went to work at the Tower of Babel and on David, just learning and learning how to work with people. So what I told you last time was, so we are dealing with a darkness that's greater than man, but not greater than God in man, than Christ in us. Okay, so now you're kind of up to date in a nutshell. Okay, so let's open your notes up where it says pulling down strongholds, and let's go over our text for tonight. Here's what it is. "But I beseech you," 2 Corinthians 10:2, "that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some. But think of us," and that's "as," one little typo, "as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now here's what's happened. Paul helped start the church in Corinth. So he's left it. These guys have come in who want control. And so what they're doing is they're bad-mouthing Paul. And they go, "You know what? He talks really big, but wait till you see him." Or, "You know what? He writes really good. He writes really powerful stuff. But, oh, man, the guy's just nothing. He's weak. So when you look at him, you're going to just know." And they downgraded and downgraded and downgraded Paul. So Paul comes along, and in verse 2, he starts out saying this. He goes, again, he goes to show that we can't win this fight by flesh and blood, because the fight is not flesh and blood. It's in the spirit. So say this with me. My appearance, even though I'm cute or handsome. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Let's try that again. Or handsome. Like, oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll leave that alone. You're not cute or handsome. My appearance and flesh have nothing to do with this battle. Okay, so here we go. You got your pen ready? We're going to tackle the first word, which is walk. So, Eli, give me the first overhead. This is what it says. "For though we walk in the flesh." Now, here's what that word means. It's made up of two words, peripateo. Peripateo. Got it? Hold on. The word peri means this. Surround, completely encompassed about. Remember when the man that the Good Samaritan kind of rescued, he was surrounded and completely encompassed about by thieves. They robbed him. And then pateo refers to the walk that you frequent often. So when you peripateo, we all walk in the flesh realm. That's what he's saying. So where we are, we're completely surrounded with people, and we're walking there all the time. So we're walking peripateo. See that? That's peripateo. That's peripateo. You go to work, you get up, you're around people. Tonight, we are peripateoing. We're around flesh. We're walking in the flesh. So he says, even though you do this, this is not where our war is. So here's the translation of what he's saying. For though I walk in the flesh, is it up there? Okay. For though I walk in the flesh, I peripateo there, though I'm surrounded by flesh, though I'm limited in a flesh body, I live my whole life here. I play, I eat, I think there, yes, but we do not war after the flesh. He really had to get it together for these guys to let them understand. You can say all this stuff you want, but that is not where the battle is. So when we go after our boss, when we think that the job is just a stupid job, or the guy, the president in Colombia wants to be a dictator, it's the power behind all that. That's where the war is. So war, our second word. For though we walk in the flesh, we peripateo, we do not war after the flesh. So here's what that word means. Stratoomia. They say that right? Stratoomia. That's what it means. And it means this. You're going to love this. It means to initiate the conflict, to be the one who starts the fight. You're just not in the fight. You're starting the fight. You're the lead dog. You are leading everybody in the battle. Now, you might say this is like, well, you know, what are we fighting against? You're fighting against sickness. You're fighting against doubt, unbelief, fear, addictions, phobias, and you want to lead the fight in that. No, so you might be sitting here, I thought, okay, how many grandmas are going to go, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to start the fight. You want to start the fight. How many of you have kids? Let me tell you something. If I still had kids at home and I saw that one of them had a spirit of fear, every time the door closed, they'd jump. Every time the TV went on, they'd be afraid and run to their room. Every time a dog barked or someone knocked at the front door, every time they looked at their plate of mashed potatoes, whatever, they were constantly in fear. I would think, this kid has spirit of fear. There's something like abnormal about, I mean, if you're going to throw you off a 12-story building, be afraid. But then there's a fear where it's just not, there's something wrong with it. As a mother, I'd be leading the fight to get that kid set free. Leading the fight. I want to peripateo, not walk in the flesh, not peripateo, and I want to lead it and warfare and stratoomai on it. We used to have a gal here named Carol Cartwright. Some of you might remember her. She told a story once when her son was 11. They would wake up at night and find this kid in the street, and they'd tell him, they'd pray with him, they did everything, and they thought, we're going to have a dead kid someday. Like, what are we going to do about this? So they sat down, because this word comes from the word strategy. They got a strategy, and they set this kid down, like, listen, you got to help us here, or you're going to end up dead. And why are you going out in the street? Well, this voice comes to me, and it tells me to go out there. It's like, no. And so they said, the next time you hear that voice, you tell it, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my room. You don't talk to me anymore. I'm not going out there. So they go to bed. Sometime later, a week, whatever, they hear screaming in this kid's room, shouting. They get up. They run down the hall. They go into this kid's room. He is on his bed like this. In Jesus' name, you get out of my room. You're not talking to me anymore. I'm like, this kid is like going for it. And they're like this. But you know what? She said that was the last time that kid ever dealt with that voice, because they got a strategy and they warred in the spirit realm where it took place. So here's the translation. Though I walk, peripateo, and live and am completely surrounded by flesh, though I'm limited to a flesh realm, I might even have some inabilities in my flesh. The things that get done in the spirit realm aren't accomplished in the flesh realm. The battles, here we go, that we initiate, the battles that we plan, that we conceive and we start, are not done in the flesh realm. We do not war, in the flesh. So here's the thing. I can have funny looking hair, big ears, big nose, funny feet, look weird, have holes in my jeans, or I could be really cute and all blinged out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm looking like. That's what Paul tried to tell him, because our warfare is in the spirit. And note again, the word he used there for strategy is, it's well thought out. He's just not taking his spiritual armor and banging around with it. He's got a game plan. He's going to go after that thing. Okay, so turn your page over. Weapons. So what do we use? We use weapons. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. Okay, so here's what the word weapons is. It is the complete set of armor. And we talked about this last week. If you leave off one piece of armor, guess where Satan's going to hit you? You leave off that helmet of salvation, I guarantee you're going to get the knock on the door from Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons that want to talk to you, and you're going to go, well, gosh, Now, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe there is like another way. Put the armor on and keep the armor on. Because what this is heavy duty armor. When Paul is describing this to these people, they had Roman soldiers walking around. He knew exactly what he was doing when he described all this heavy equipment. It's like spiritual butcher knives. That's what he was telling them. All right, so here's what the translation is. As a matter of fact, look at the picture I put up there. See that guy coming up? Like he is ready to go to war with spiritual equipment. Okay, translation. For the weapons of the intense, brutal weapons of murder that we possess. And again, it's not like, go away, Satan. Go on. Go away. These are mighty weapons of war. So we're going to go more on that later. And you know, it's funny. I looked this up and spent some time. I just didn't want to get too consumed in it. But there are denominations now, more than one, that will not allow their churches to sing Onward Christian Soldiers. Did you guys know that? Because it's too violent. So I thought, I remember that I'm going to like look it up and see, are there any more? Oh my gosh. Paul would be wringing their necks. I looked up one guy, and he visited a church in Pennsylvania. And he said, this was the stupidest thing. I mean, really, he was very derogatory. All these old people in this church, and there they are singing Onward Christian Soldiers like they're going to go somewhere. And I'm like, duh. I was like, have you ever read about spiritual warfare? So he's like ragging on this poor little church group who were singing Onward Christian Soldiers. That's why I put it on the front cover. Marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. I mean, it's an awesome song. Then I read another church, assistant school superintendent of a Christian school was going to resign if they didn't stop singing Onward Christian Soldiers because it was too violent for the kids. It's like, okay, wait, we're not sending these kids off like Iran does to war to blow people up. It's in the spirit. You got to start young with these. I mean, you just shake your head and go, Paul would just be beside himself more than I am. I just don't get it. I know it's an old song, but the words are just awesome. So we're singing that. Okay, so for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal flesh, but they are mighty. Say mighty. Mighty. Good. Here's what mighty means. You probably heard this. It's dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. It's powerful, capable of miraculous power. So Paul, what he's doing here is grasping at one illustration after another. He goes, we're in a fight. But we have weapons for this fight. And it's a warfare. And he goes, we're not going to war in the flesh. We're going to war in the spirit. And the weapons that we have are mighty, just mighty. And so one after another, he's pulling all this together in the richness of these verses. And, you know, the best illustration I can give you for how mighty these are, some of you have heard this before, but it was a personal experience that happened to me. And honestly, if you heard it, just nod your head. And if you haven't, this is what happened. We were at a women's retreat one year, and we were kind of sharing at the end, and a girl got up with this great big rock, and she's like tossing it in the air, and it would come down and land here. I mean, high. I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's acting very strange, and I went, I think this girl has a spirit problem. And again, if you're a Christian, you can't, as Bob always says, you can't be possessed. That's ownership. But you can, if you have a cold, you can have a spirit. Not that a cold is a spirit, but a Christian can have a demon somewhere on him, just not possessing him. So I'm thinking, I think this girl needs some deliverance. So I grabbed a few other ladies and went off to another little building, and I said, you know, you want to be set free? Absolutely. And she was a little thing, maybe 5'5", 5'4", weighed 110. So I said, okay, I go, let's pray. We prayed like nothing happens. I didn't feel anything. She didn't do anything. And I'm like, I know that thing was manifesting up. They're like, we got to get this out of her. So I said, okay, let's do this like confession of faith. And you just repeat after me. So she goes, okay. So I go, okay, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we went through everything. I'm saved. I know Jesus died on the cross and the Father sent him. And forgiveness of my sins. Nothing happened. And I said, okay, and we're saved by the blood of Jesus. And she goes, we're saved by the blah. She could not say the word blood. It was, and she went off. I mean, it was like a Hollywood movie. She just exploded. And I'm going like, oh my gosh, four of us could not hold this girl down. It was like, I'm like, am I in a movie or something? Or someone's put us in this little room with a demon and locked the door. I mean, she just went nuts. Everything they say about it. And so we finally kind of, I mean, it took a long time. We get her settled down. That thing is still in her. I don't know how many times I said, look at me. In the name of Jesus, you spirit, I command you to come out of this girl. Nothing. So we're finally all in the middle of the room. It's been like an hour. I'm sitting cross-legged. She's looking at me, and I have these girls over here. And he's calm. And so I said, okay, like, how did this thing get in you? So she's telling me when she and her husband were dating, he'd point out evil spirits to her. and one got on her. So I said, okay, I said, I think you still got it. Do you want rid of it? Yes, yes, I want it out. Okay, well, I've learned a little bit in the last hour, so we'll do this a little quicker. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And she goes, thank you, Jesus, for blah, and off she goes again. But this time she stayed seated, and I'm telling you, she glared at me like two snake eyes. She just can't imagine what it's like to look at a demon in somebody, and it was powerful. And again, I could go on and on. It was quite a story. But at the end, we're getting there, still nothing. And so a girl named Linda Engel was sitting over here to my right, and I'm face-to-face with this gal like this. And so I said, I'm going to tell you one more time, Spirit, you come out of her, or I'm going to ask the Father to send her to him to hell, the demon to hell, ahead of time. And because you can't do that, you just send him to the dry places. So she's still like this. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you Spirit, you come out of her. She's like that. So Linda's over here. She goes, do it. I look at her like, oh, my gosh. Okay. So I said, in the name of Jesus, you Spirit, go to hell. Now, what I'm going to tell you is hard to believe. I'm telling you, I'm not lying to you. I was there. This is what happened. She is sitting there. It was like somebody took your fist and reached down in her guts and ripped her guts out of her. She let out the biggest screech. Robin, you were at a cabin and heard her. Like, how far away? Outside. It was like she had a microphone and an amplifier, and the most horrific screech came out of this lady. She couldn't do it again to save her life. And then she's sitting here, and she flies over here, and she's landed over here, and she's mumbling, like, I'm pooped. And so Linda goes over there, and I go, what is she saying? Because I don't know what else to do. And so Linda runs over, kind of squats down by her. I'll never forget, and she looks up, and she goes, she's saying, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Oh, my gosh. We were thrilled. I was so happy. That girl got set free, but that's how powerful and mighty the weapons of our warfare was. And what I did was, you take the sword of the Spirit and go, I don't need it to be defensive. I'm going to use it to be offensive. I'm going to use the word of the Lord to get this girl set free. There is power in the blood. That's what the word of God tells me. So I'm going to use it. That's why we're here tonight, to learn stuff like this. So here's the translation on mighty. We not only have brutal weapons of murder when they are used, and what are we murdering? We're murdering the demons and the strongholds, but they are explosively power. They release divine supernatural energy when we use them properly. Boy, amen on that. Okay, so how do we use them properly? We're going to do two words here. You're going to love both these words. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not flesh, but mighty through, say through, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So here's what the word through means. It's denoting the channel of an act. This only operates through God. It only operates through God. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They were seven sons of a high priest. They went in to get this demon out of this guy, but they weren't doing it through God. And so what happens? They ran out of there naked and bloodied up. That thing beat them up. One demon and a guy beat up seven men. They ran out of the building. The verse we went over last night was, you submit to God, resist the devil, and what happens? He will flee. So the seven sons of Sceva resisted, but the devil didn't flee because they hadn't submitted. So these only work through God. Don't ever try this stuff without being submitted to the Lord, knowing that you have Christ in you. Okay, everybody ready? Now you are going to love this next word, too. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to, say to, two. Two, the pulling down of strongholds. Here's what it means. Two means pros, P-R-O-S. It's face-to-face, head-on. You're leaning into something. So we're not going to be afraid. When I took that girl through that deliverance or whatever you call it, we were like eyeball to eyeball. I wasn't like somewhere off in the corner yelling. We were like just like this. When we pray for people that we think we need to get something out of them, we'll say, look at us, look at me. Eyeball to eyeball, you go in pros on that thing. Now, here's a picture. Eli, give me that wrestler. Remember, Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dominions. That's just what it like. These guys are ready to take each other on. And I told you 2 weeks ago, the reason he uses wrestling and not like you're going to stab each other with a sword or bang each other with a club, because it's so personal. These things want to grab us and wrestle us down. They want those relationships. They want your job to go bad. And so they're going to wrestle you and just eyeball to eyeball you. It's very, very personal. So here's the translation on that, face to face. For the intense, brutal weapons of murder that we possess as we initiate, plan, and lead in warfare, not capable of being done in the flesh realm are incredibly powerful, explosive, only operating through God to, or pros, face-to-face, the pulling down of strongholds. So what we're doing is when we go after something like this, you just look at that thing right face-to-face, you lean into it, and you go after it because we have the upper hand, because we have Christ in us. Does that make sense so far? We all on the same page? Okay. Okay, to the pulling down. To the pulling down of strongholds. You're going to love this one. When Paul used this term, it related to, matter of fact, did you put it up there, Eli? Put the next one up. Yeah. It's referring to the ancients when they used to raid a city. So they would go in there and God would say, this is such a wicked city, I want the whole thing wiped out. The pulling down, you pull down that whole city. They would be commanded to kill every man, woman, child, animal. And if that wasn't enough, God would say, you take that thing apart brick by brick. I want no memory of that city. And so when he said we are pulling down strongholds, what he's saying is this: I want every single remnant of that stronghold that was in your life done away with. So you go, well, I have this stronghold of unforgiveness. Like this person did these terrible things to me, and I'll forgive them all but this one. It's like, no, because that thing's only going to seed more, and it's going to grow right on back. So he's saying you get rid of all of it. If you're going to forgive and get rid of that stronghold, you get rid of all of it. You totally do that. You want to annihilate that stronghold. Am I getting it across? Okay, good. We pull them down. Okay, so what are we pulling down? Flip it over. I gave you a list. This list is not 100% complete. There's probably like Google number of strongholds that can be harassing us. But here's the definition of stronghold. I don't have an overhead for it. You're going to like it, though. To hold on to or tighten the grip on. That's what a stronghold means. And so let's use fear for an example. So a person starts dealing with fear and starts entertaining those thoughts, and if you don't deal with it, the stronghold will come and tighten the grip on you, and it will hold on to you. It's like, my gosh, I just can't get rid of this thing. Or doubt or unbelief or any of these things, it just doesn't want to let you go. And somebody said this, I thought it was really good. A stronghold is not a demon, but they are very good friends. A stronghold is not a demon, but they are very good friends. And so when people allow themselves to be opened up to a stronghold of say, unforgiveness, I'm telling you, it's so easy for darkness to come in and use that as an open door, and in you go. So now you have a stronghold, but he's attached to a demon, and you're demonized. You have a little tour guide, as Lenora calls him. And so addictions and phobias and sicknesses and unforgiveness, you know, you can spend your whole life dealing with these, not realizing it's something spiritual that needs to be taken care of. Have you ever heard the term like, oh, he's just a bitter old man? You heard that? Or she's a bitter old woman. What happened? Bitterness came in, and they allowed it to stay, and it got a grip on them, or it just grabbed them and wouldn't let go. That's what a stronghold is. And so years go by, and they refuse to forgive, refuse to get over that bitterness, and they become a bitter old person. And they have a stronghold. That's just what it is. So here's our list. I'm just going to read it very quickly for those of you listening to the tape. But what it is, it's the main stronghold, and then these are little tributaries that it takes. So you can have a stronghold of being haughty. It's pride, boastful, stubbornness, gossip, being critical. Deaf and dumb stronghold. Mental illnesses, self-mutilation, slumber. It leads to withdrawal, laziness, confusion, divination, occult, magic. A familiar stronghold. Spirit guides. You inherit curses. Fear, stronghold of fear. A lot of people deal with that. Insecurity, worry, nightmares, panic attack, phobias. Your phobias all start with a stronghold of fear. Heaviness, it leads to gloominess, rejection, self-pity, depression, suicide. These are all strongholds that start as strongholds. Jealousy, bitterness, strife, control, revenge, anger, hatred. Stronghold of lying, deception, exaggeration, profanity, hypocrisy. Antichrist stronghold, doubt, unbelief, rebellion, witchcraft. That's why it's so hard when we get Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses at our door. They have a stronghold for these religions. And I'm telling you, it is an antichrist stronghold, and it's just like talking to a brick wall. You just can hardly make progress with them. A stronghold of bondage, greed, gluttony, anorexia, bulimia, addictions. That's where the addictions, they start with strongholds. Infirmity, pain and disease, whoredom, idolatry, cults and adultery, and perversion, word twisting, lust, child molestation, etc. So flip your page over one more time. So exactly what is a stronghold? Okay, here it is. Eli, put that one up. Here's what it is. The word says it's casting down imaginations and every high thing. So strongholds are what? Imaginations and high things. So what it is, it's a reasoning of your mind. It's things you start thinking, and they just start again. They get a grip, and they hold on tight, and they start going, and it becomes a stronghold. So Eli, give me that next one. Yeah. So here it is, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Here's what another couple translations say. We demolish arguments and every pretension. That's when people maybe have an antichrist spirit and they're arguing with you. It's like, man, I think I'm talking to stronghold here. It's really hard to get through that. And so you start praying different. Every lofty opinion, because what it does is it captures your mind. That's where it starts. And you just can't get out of that mindset. It's very, very hard. So you know then that you're dealing with a stronghold. But 2 weeks ago, I visited a neighbor. I was in my garden and thought she'd like some figs, and I was a mess, actually. And I said, hey, can I bring you over some figs? Oh, yeah, come on over. This lady used to be a nurse, had gone through cancer at one time, and I don't know her that well, but she's a nice, nice neighbor. So she goes, come on in. So I'm like, well, okay, it's kind of evening. I stink. I've been out working. So I go, okay, I'm sitting on her sofa trying to, you know, not get everything dirty. Steve see me when I'm in the garden. I'm terrible. Ruth see me in the garden. I'm terrible. So anyway, so we're talking and talking. And so she goes, well, can I ask you a question? Well, I said, sure. She goes, well, when you had cancer all last year, she said, like, did you blame God? I mean, I never even thought of that. So I went, no. I mean, that quick. Because you never blame God? Like, not one time. And she goes, well, did you get mad at God? No. Never you got mad at God. She goes, you never got mad at God? And I'm like, I mean, over and over and over. I came home and told Papa, go, but she was relentless with that. But you know what? I went away going, I'm not sure why she was pushing it so much, but this is how stronghold starts. You can go away from that going, well, maybe I should have blamed God. I mean, it was a walk to hell and back. Ruth and I have agreed on that. It was terrible. I almost died. Maybe this is God's fault. Maybe I should be mad at God. That's how strongholds start. They start in your brain. Maybe I'm not going to forgive that person. Whatever. It starts here. That's when you recognize what it is. Bang, you're on it like that. So I wrote down a couple things. How many of you know people that were ever on drugs? And they that one time they just got together with their friends and they go, we're just going to try drugs. Don't even go there in your heads. Or they go, hey, my mom and dad are going to be gone for the weekend. Let's go get on the computer and we'll dabble in pornography. It starts here. And pretty soon, you've got a stronghold that's gripping you and won't let go. And now you've got a spirit of pornography coming in. It's a mess. How many of you have heard people go, well, I'm just kind of nursing a grudge or harboring a resentment? You're going to harbor? You're going to give safe harbor to unforgiveness? You're going to nurse a grudge? You're going to take care of it and feed it? That's how strongholds start. Do you get it? They start here, and they just grip you, and they manifest. Okay, and our last one, or not last one, exalteth. Okay, so we're going to cast down everything that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. Here's what exalt means. A thought slowly rising to a place of prominence. So I don't want you to think, oh my gosh, I thought something really bad, and all of a sudden I have the stronghold. It's not that fast. It exalts very slowly. Very sneaky. Darkness is so wily and cunning. So after a while, it just stays and it stays and it comes back. And pretty soon, you can't get rid of this thing. You are so angry at this person constantly. Like, why am I so angry? I get up angry. I think angry all day. And I go to bed angry. I'm so angry at this person. It's probably a stronghold that just little by little exalted itself and bang, you got it. You got it. Now, let me show you. How many of you remember Howard Hughes? Remember, Eli, put up that picture if you would. Okay. Smart guy, rich guy, Hughes Aircraft. I was reading up on him today, and actually there's one biographer that contributes us winning World War II to Howard Hughes because of his aircraft. Just an amazing entrepreneur, built the big spruce goose. I mean, just an interesting, smart guy. He got a phobia, remember? Okay, here's him in his in life. Give me that next one. He has Kleenex tissue boxes on his feet because he is so afraid of germs. And this is what entertaining a thought, a phobia. He got a phobia that turned into a stronghold. I would bet you money, wouldn't you, Bob, that he probably ended up with a spirit of infirmity, of germs, or whatever. But you look at the pictures of him in his later life, it's like He's gone from a really smart, intelligent, good-looking guy to that. Starting with, again, I'll bet you money, a stronghold. Oh my gosh, I've got to wash my hands. Oh my gosh, I've got to wash them again. I touched that person. Oh, I want to touch them again. It just, and on and on and on it went until he ended up like that. So that's why you nip him in the bud. If you think, I mean, if there's any thought that it's a stronghold, you nail the thing. Okay, and what do we do with it? We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because see, the things that acknowledge himself over the knowledge of God is he wants us saved, delivered, healed, and set free. So anything that goes against that is coming against the knowledge of God. So here's what exalt means. Am I into that one? No, we're bringing it into captivity. Okay, so we bring that thing into captivity. It's two words in the Greek, and it means this. The first one is to spear. So you throw up, you get that sword of the Spirit, and you throw it up, and the second word means to violently seize, and then both of them together, I jab through with my spear, it's your armor, and I pull it down under my control. I mean, it was violent. When he used these words, these people knew he's talking about those Roman soldiers and those spears that they had. They gutted people with those things. And so that's what he's saying. You jab that spear up and you pull that stronghold down like you're gutting this thing and it's never going to live again. So here's the translation on it. Our battle is to demolish every deceptive fantasy, every high thing, and every barrier raised against the knowledge of God, and taking violently by force every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't want one brick of that thing to remain. I mean, you have to be violent. Carol Cartwright, right, with her son, you get violent with this thing. We are bringing that thing down. And when they did, the thing was gone. Okay, is that it? That's it. Okay, I want to give you, we're running out of time, a really good example in the Bible of how Paul and Silas brought down a stronghold. So they cast a demon out of this lady that was fortune-telling, and they threw him in jail, and they told this jailer, you lose these guys, we're going to kill you. So they put him in the innermost jail. He chains up their feet. I mean, they're not going anywhere. So, like, you'd think, were they blaming God? No. Were they mad at God? Do we all know the story? Say no. No. Let me start again. Are we all together here? Were they blaming God? Were they mad at God? What did they do? Give me the verse, Eli. And at midnight, yes, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Now, I happen to know what they were singing. You ready? I do. Steve's laughing, but I really do. Here it is. Now, I have kind of a raspy throat, but you'll get it. They were chained up, and they're singing this. Let God arise. They're harmonizing. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered, and let the righteous be glad. And let the rejoice with gladness. God is triumph, mine to lead. Let God. So they're like, they're tapping those chains. They're harmonizing. The jailer's going, oh, those guys in cell number 5, they're driving me nuts. But things started shaking a little bit. So then they sang this. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And then it shook and rumbled some more. And this happened. Give me the next verse. Okay. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Because why? They were hurling up those spears against a stronghold over that city and pulling it down with praise. They were awesome. When you lift up the name of Jesus over fear and doubt and unbelief and whatever stronghold, that thing has to come down. I don't want to stay around. That's what they were. I love that story. That was their dude. It was a stronghold. Now, Bob and I used to know a guy named Sam Sasser. Remember him? We actually had him here, and he's long dead, but he was a missionary in the Marshall Islands, and he told us this story once. He said he was at a tribe, and the chief got everybody in a big circle, and they started chanting, and they put two women in the middle, and as they chanted, these two women begin to be levitated up off the ground. He said, like 5 or 6 feet. It was pretty impressive. And so the chief goes, hey, Sam, what do you think? And he's going, I'm impressed. And he's going, oh, God, what do I do? Do I do anything? Do I rebuke it? Like, what do I do? And the Lord said, no, you just go in the middle of the circle and you start praising me. So he gets permission. He goes, chief, can I just go out in the middle of the circle? So the chief goes, sure, go ahead. So he goes out and he just lifts his hands up and he goes, God, there is no God like you. You are mighty. You are the creator of heaven and earth, and I worship you and I adore you. You are mighty God. He said those women fell out of the atmosphere, out of the sky. They fell. Because when you lift up the name of Jesus over that stuff, it has to go down. It can't stand up. So what we're talking about here is the bottom line in all this teaching is it has to become a lifestyle. That we have to get in the habit of going, you know what? I recognize that this is not a good thing. It's hung on too long. I think this is a stronghold. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to break that thing because I don't want it hanging around me, my family, our workplace, where I shop, nothing. But this, what I gave you tonight, it's the blueprint for bringing those things down. Does that make sense? And, you know, hopefully some of you will go, my gosh, I'm dealing with fear, or I have a kid dealing with that, or doubt. I mean, look at the list. And I'm not saying this. You know, Geraldine's been fighting a cold all week. I wouldn't say she has a stronghold of cold or even a spirit of infirmity. She got a cold because, you know, we're in the world and not of it. We have infirmities, but Jesus overcome the world. So, you know, just because a person, I want to caution you, don't run out of here and kill everybody with, you know, our mouth. So it's like, oh, you're afraid in Jesus' name, stronghold, come out of him. It could just be, remember, it's either God or the devil or it's us. So it could just be us. Okay, so you have to be very, that's why you got to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. You know, you just don't go around slamming your hands on everybody. But just in case they are, you want to take care of it, but be smart about it. Does that make sense? Did I leave anything out, Bob? One thing? No, I'm okay. So we're going to close, and we're going to do this. Honestly, I just don't want to send you out the door with anybody here going, man, I think I'm dealing with one, or I think I'm dealing with somebody who is dealing with one. We'll pray with you tonight. Like, let's get this down and deal with it and win. Have the victory here. Are you ready for that? Okay, so everybody stand up. We've got to be on your feet to pray this stuff.